Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about the fear of the Lord. And we are now at the end of our third teaching in this five-part set. And I've been talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the last few days about how that they weren't careful to answer the king. They didn't have a fear of the king. They feared the Lord more than they feared people who could literally put them to death. I tell you, that is so powerful, and it is so missing in many, many Christians' lives today. They look to the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins, and they think about heaven and hell issues. But in this life, most Christians, or I don't know that it's accurate to say most. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not most, but certainly many Christians fear men and their rejection and the punishment that they can inflict more than they fear God. I tell you, that is just not right. And that is one reason that our country has gone the direction that it has, is because people who have the truth haven't been out speaking it. They've been afraid of the criticism of men. And you know, to a large degree, I know that there are a few people who are physically persecuted and beaten and killed and things for their faith. But to the majority, it's not physical persecution, but it's just a little look here and there, and the fact that you're going to be criticized and maybe you'll be passed over for a promotion. And you know, there may be some physical consequences, but they're relatively minor compared to previous generations of Christians who stood there for their faith and were thrown to the lions and terrible things happened to them. And I tell you, this is one of the reasons that our nation has gone the way that it's gone, is because we don't have people that will stand up and speak the truth. They're worried about what everybody else has to say about them. And sad to say, this isn't just the ungodly that are that way. Even Christians and even the leaders of many of our churches are afraid to stand up and speak the truth. And that is contrary to the example that's given us in the Bible. I use the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the last few days out of Daniel chapter 3. Here in Daniel chapter 6 is an instance where the king, Darius, came into power. The Medes and the Persians took over the kingdom from the Babylonians, and Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had been serving under the Babylonians, and when the Medes and the Persians took over, well, then they continued to serve the new conquerors, and they were leaders. And Daniel had so much favor. This is one of the things that I'll teach on as we continue through this series, that the fear of the Lord, God will cause people who truly fear Him to have favor. Now, there may be people who don't like you, as we can see right here in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, but God will give you favor. Favor really comes to those who have a fear of the Lord. And because of this, Daniel was promoted, and Daniel was actually the leader over everybody under Darius himself. And because of it, all of the other governors and people who were in government positions were jealous of Daniel, and they tried to find something against him. But they finally said this in verse 5, "Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" Man, I love that. I love that. You know, we are in the process of our elections here in the United States, and we've had people running for office. And as they get, you know, to where they are gaining momentum and their numbers are increasing in the polls, then people start digging into their past and they bring up accusations and criticize them. And I'm not sure that all of the criticisms that we've heard are true. And it's a sad thing that in our society today, a person is guilty until proven innocent. And if there's just enough people that come up with accusations, well, then they can be considered guilty and public opinion moves against them. That's wrong. But there are a lot of these candidates that it's not just insinuations or accusations. A lot of it, they admit that they've done all of these things wrong, that they've had extramarital affairs, that they've been unfaithful and done all of this. Man, would to God that we had some people like Daniel, who the critics said If we are going to find anything against them, we're going to have to find it based on his relationship with God, because he is a godly man and he doesn't have this string of, you know, bad behavior and actions that disqualify him from being in a public office. Man, that says a lot right here about Daniel. He had so much integrity, they knew that they were going to have to entrap him or do something concerning his religion, his faith in the Lord. Would to God that we had people like that running for office today in government positions who lived an honest, moral, godly life. Amen. I think that's great. So anyway, they finally decided that here's what they'd do. They played on the arrogance, on the pride, the ego of Darius. And they came to him and they said, "We want to make a proclamation that no man for 30 days can pray or ask any petition of any god except Darius." In other words, they wanted to elevate him for 30 days to the position of God. And you know what? An unsaved king, an arrogant man who was basically at this time ruling the world, this played right into his ego, and so he went ahead and signed it and sealed it. And the law of the Medes and the Persians was that once something was sealed, it could not be overturned. Once it was established, it could not be revoked. You couldn't say, "Whoops, time's out, I didn't mean this." It had to be done. So they thought that now they had Daniel, because they knew that Daniel feared the Lord enough that he would not honor this declaration of the king. He would still go ahead and honor the Lord with his lifestyle of serving God. And so after this was done, it said in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Boy, this is powerful. It says right here, Daniel knew that this thing was done. So this isn't something that he did by mistake. He knew exactly what the consequences could be. He opened his windows the way that he had done before. Did you know some people could argue, "Well, you could have closed your windows and you could have prayed to God and you didn't have to be this demonstrative and you don't have to do this." He could have still worshiped the Lord and just done it in a more of a covert way. Did you know that this is basically the mindset that is running rampant in the United States and all across Europe? Places where the gospel and Christianity used to dominate, but today the only segment of society that you can persecute without being called a bigot and something else is Christians. And because of it, many Christians have decided to just worship the Lord in private. They don't want to, like for instance, when you go out to eat, I'm not saying you have to bless your meal, but there's many of you at home that you bless your meal, and that would be your way of doing it. But in public, you're fearful about what is everybody going to think. And so you just don't do it. And you've chosen to compromise in that area. Now again, I'm not saying you have to bless your food. There, I can't find a scripture that says, I do find the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that nothing is to be refused, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so praying over your food has a very practical purpose, and that is that if there is something in it, and like food poisoning, if there's some kind of a disease, you pray over it and give thanks. It sanctifies it and makes it healthy. So I recommend it. I think it's the right thing to do. But there isn't a scripture that says you have to do it. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and blessed them and then fed the multitude. There is a scriptural precedent for it, but you aren't. God's not mad at you if you don't pray over your food. But I'm saying, if you typically would pray over your food and yet you're afraid to do it because you're in a hostile environment, did you know what? I don't think that that's fearing God. Now, I'm not saying that you have to get down on your knees. I'm not saying that you have to pray out loud. I'm not saying that you have to be offensive. Matter of fact, there's times that I've been out to eat with people and the conversation is just going so much that, you know what, before I eat my food, I'll just say, "I believe this food is blessed. I receive it with thanksgiving, and we believe it's healthy," and I'll just speak it out. And we don't all have to grab hands or bow down. So I'm not saying you have to be religious with it, but I am saying that, you know what, you shouldn't be afraid to express your faith in public. When you're standing around a water cooler or something and the conversation at the office goes and it starts going ungodly, did you know most Christians feel like we are somehow or another made to feel bad, and that if we stand up for morality and if we say, hey, I don't tell those kind of jokes, I don't laugh about stuff like that. You know, most Christians wouldn't do that. They'd sit there and maybe they'd just walk away or something and in a very subtle way not participate. I believe that, man, you ought to stand up. It doesn't mean you have to do it in a mean way, but you ought to stand up. If somebody ought to feel weird, it ought to be the ungodly for telling the types of jokes, laughing about the things, talking about the things that they talk about. They're the ones that ought to feel weird, not the Christians. I'm not saying you have to do it in a condemning type of way, but you need to take a stand for the Lord. You know, I remember when I was in the Army, I was going through basic training. Some things happened, and I got put with a different group of people. And anyway, I went to get my paycheck. It was up at Fort Dix, New Jersey. We didn't have field jackets. It was cold. It was in between Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And it was cold. And so we were waiting on this payroll office to open, and there was a little space. It was a stairwell that went down to a basement door. And there was a little area about 10 by 10, and there was about 30 of us that were huddled down there trying to stay out of the wind and stay warm until they opened this thing up. And so anyway, there was about 30 guys there. I'd never seen any of these people before. They weren't people that I knew. And we were standing there, and they were all cussing. They were saying things. And this one guy in particular was mocking Jesus and just saying terrible things about Jesus. And making jokes about the Christians fighting the lions, and the lions were eating them up, and they were just mocking God. And you know what? I was standing there in the midst of this and saying, oh God, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity to do something and to inject you into this situation. And you know what? I'm not saying I did this perfectly. I've grown a lot. I think I could do things better now. But nonetheless, you aren't ever going to do everything perfectly. And this was the best I knew how to do at the time. So I was praying and saying, oh God, give me an opportunity. And right when I said that, this man, whose name was David Posey, he just stopped right in mid-sentence. And he says, you know, this is no way for a good old Schofield-carrying Baptist to talk. I shouldn't be mocking Jesus like that. And when he said that, it just came up out of me. And I said, you've got a Schofield Bible. And he said, yeah, do you have one? I said, I sure do. I said, you ought to read yours sometime. And he just looked at me and he says, what do you mean? And I said, have you ever read Matthew 12 where it says, every idle word that men speak, they will give an account thereof in the day of judgment, for by your words you shall be justified and by your words you shall be condemned. And man, it offended this guy. And he started pushing his way through those guys. He's taller than me. He's a big guy. And he got right up to me. And I said, one other verse. It says in Galatians 4:16, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And when I said that, whatever he was going to say to me or do to me, God just shut him down. And he stood there, face to face, looking at me, and he never said a word. And we stood there for another 20 minutes, and not a single word was said among those people. And you know what? It was awkward. But it stopped that ungodliness. And those people, for the next 8 weeks, I got put into their group. And that was the way that I got introduced to these guys. And did you know when I'd walk into the barracks, they'd all be talking and stuff. And when I'd walk in, they'd, shh, here comes the preacher. That's what they call me, the preacher. And they wouldn't talk to me. I didn't have a single person talk to me for the next 8 weeks. I'd go into the mess hall and they'd be sitting there, and I'd sit down, and they'd all pick up their stuff, and they'd leave and leave me alone. I didn't have a single person talk to me. Not a single person would associate with me. Some people may think, well, that was terrible. Well, it wasn't good in one sense, but in another sense, you know what? I didn't have to put up with their ungodliness and their stuff, and I just was having a great time with the Lord, and I could handle it. It was okay. And then right before we left, on our Christmas leaves, we got our orders, and we were all leaving to go out on a Christmas leave. And then when we came back, we'd get our orders and tell us where we went. And it turned out that every single person in my class got orders to go to Vietnam except this man, David Posey. And right before we left on our Christmas leave, I was, during our breaks, I'd go over to the kids section where the kiddie books were or something in the library, and I'd sit down and pull out my New Testament and I'd go to reading the Bible. They'd all go over to the pornographic section and they'd look at these magazines and just, you know, tell dirty jokes and do all this stuff. And anyway, one time I was sitting over there and this David Posey came walking around the corner and saw me. And when he saw me, he stopped and he started to leave. And then he turned back and he said, "Womack, you don't think I'm saved, do you?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm not your judge." But I said, "If I was a fruit inspector, there's not enough fruit of it to make me believe you're saved. I've been praying for you." And he broke down and got to crying. And he said, "I've been in gospel singing groups. I sang with the Happy Goodmans and all of these famous people." And he says, "I know better. I'm really saved, but I just wasn't living for God." And he said, "Every night since you did this 8 weeks before, I haven't slept a single night." He says, "I've been under such conviction." And he said, "I want to get right with God." And then the bell rang. We had to go back to class. I said, "Well, you know what? We're leaving tomorrow." I said, "When we come back from our leave, I'll talk to you and I'll help you to get back into your relationship with God." Turned out he's the only person that got orders to go someplace else. He went to Germany and all the rest of us went to Vietnam. And it was, I don't know how many years later, but I was on a television program. Before I had my own television program, I was a guest on somebody else's program. And he was in a different room of the house and his wife was watching that. And he heard my voice. And this is 20-something years after Vietnam. And he came running in there and he says, "I know that voice." And he recognized me and he came to one of my meetings and told me this story. And anyway, he was an associate pastor at an Assembly of God church. And he said he never got over that. God used that to change his life. And that's an example of just the fear of the Lord. And anyway, I got off the track on this story by telling that story, but this is exactly what Daniel did. Somebody says, "You don't have to demonstrate. You don't have to do that." They quote St. Francis of Assisi, which says, you know, witness to every person and use words if necessary. And I understand that, and I agree with that to a point, that it's not just the words we say. It's not just whether you have a bumper sticker on your car or whether you're outspoken. You've got to live it. If you are speaking it but not living it, that's a hypocrite, and that turns people off to the Lord. And so I understand that, and I'm not completely opposed to it. But at the same time, if you are just letting your life be the testimony, but you aren't putting any words to it, well, then how do they know that you just aren't a good person? How do they know it's not just your moral upbringing? How do they know that it's the Lord that has caused this change? Man, we need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to give testimony. You need to stand up. And you don't have to be as offensive as I am. You could be more polished. You could do it in a better way. But you need to do something. This is what Daniel did. Daniel threw open the windows. And I mean, he knelt down and prayed just exactly the way that he had done before. He defied this because he was not afraid of the king or of these other leaders in the government. He feared God and he wasn't afraid to express it. Boy, we need that. You need that. You need to stand up for what you believe. You can do it in a polite way, but you need to stand up. And what was the consequence? Well, they threw Daniel in the lion's den. Darius, the moment that the leaders came and accused Daniel, he knew exactly what had happened. He had been tricked. He'd been trapped. He tried to get out of it, but he couldn't do it. And he wound up having to throw Daniel into the lion's den. And as he did it, he told him, he says, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." This is an ungodly king who had faith in the God of Daniel and knew that God was going to protect him. And then he stayed up all night long praying for Daniel. And in the morning he went to the lion's den and with a lamentable voice he cried out, "Oh Daniel, is your God whom you serve able to deliver you?" And Daniel's voice came back and he says, "He is able." He says, "The Lord sent his angel and shut the mouth of of the lions. And Daniel spent an entire night in a den of hungry lions, and they didn't touch him because of the miraculous power of God. That's because he feared God. And so Darius took him up out of the lion's den, and then he took all of these men who had accused him, their wives and children, and threw them into the lion's den. And before they even hit the ground, the lions had shredded them and torn them into pieces. Everybody would like to see this kind of a miraculous demonstration, but again, are you bold enough that you'll sit there and do what it takes? Will you stand up and speak for the Lord? That's the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you that God hasn't changed. God would still do miraculous things today if somebody would stand up and speak out against the insanity that people have today. I mean, the absolute insanity that the so-called leaders of this world are exercising and the stupid things that they're doing. Somebody needs to stand up. And you can say it in love, but you need to stand up. And like Daniel, you need to demonstrate your faith. And you don't need to be afraid of the consequences. I know that right now God is speaking to some people that are in positions of leadership. And you've compromised. You can call it something else. You can call it being discreet, that you don't want to be offensive, and that you don't want to wear your religion on your sleeve, and you can justify it in a million different ways, but the bottom line is you've compromised. And you know what? You need to stand up. I actually have read some statements by David Cameron, who is the Prime Minister in the UK, and he has made some statements that what he sees happening in his country is a moral collapse. And he said he's a Christian. He's not really a practicing Christian. He hasn't done it very well, but he is making the statements that unless the UK returns to a Judeo-Christian ethic, they're doomed. And I tell you what, I think that that's awesome for some person to stand up and speak the truth. He and the leader of Germany, and there's some others in Europe, have said that this multiculturalism, where they try and accommodate everybody and make it so that there isn't a certain, Christian background to these nations. They're trying to be inclusive of everybody. It's not working. Matter of fact, it's destroying the countries. And they're trying to take a stand and stand up for the fear of the Lord, but it may be too late. I'm telling you that we need some people to stand up and stand for what they believe, and fear God more than you fear people. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's not being terrified of the Lord. It's not being afraid of judgment and punishment. It's just honoring God, committed to God, more than you're committed to the praise of people. We need the fear of the Lord. Today's my last day to offer you this tape entitled They Wouldn't Bend, Budge, Bow, or Burn, and it talks about the three Hebrew children and also Daniel and the lion's den. And I'd like to encourage you to please get this. I think it could make a huge difference in your life. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you that information. And please call or write today and then join me again tomorrow as we continue to talk about the fear of the Lord.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Fear of the Lord was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
Let me remind you that today is my last day to offer you this third teaching in this new album entitled The Fear of the Lord. There's five teachings in this album. Today we finished our third teaching about Daniel and about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll continue to teach from this album. We'll offer the CD album, the DVD album, and also a live DVD teaching where I taught this at a Gospel Truth seminar in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But today is my last day to make this third teaching in the five-part set available to you as a free gift. Please listen to our announcer and then call or write today and receive this teaching.
The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled, They Wouldn't Bend, Budge, Bow, or Burn, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 9th through the 11th, in Humble, Texas on Sunday, February 12th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days, March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, let not your heart be troubled.
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, you are not going to leave me.
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening with the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today.